has found out that the devil, Sanballat, the world, Tobias, and them Arabians, picture of the flesh, that's some distant kins. You got a traitor living in your camp. He's with you every day, and you can't shed him. You can't do nothing about it. One day we're gonna get shucked like a corn cob. Amen. The old flesh is gonna pull away. Thank God. And he's gonna call us home. He's gonna jerk us plumb out of our flesh. Gonna have a glorified body. Ain't that gonna be a day? Until then, we've got enemies. And the devil, Sanballat, he's not for you, he's against you. He wants to stop you, because anytime you're gonna do something for God, he's gonna show up. He hates you. He brings him great indignation. He's full of wrath. He wants to stop it, whatever the cost. He don't care how many he got to kill. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. He don't care. He'll leave you alone. You remember when you was in the trap of sin? You remember how that old master treated you terrible. Now Jesus sets you free, broke the cage. Hallelujah. If you don't watch it, Satan will set a snare. He will still use those devices, those snares, those wiles of the devil. He'll try mocking you and laughing you, derision. He'll try that. He'll mock the workmanship, the workman, and he'll mock the work. He'll try to tell you feeble, you're weak, and you're just a few, and what's the point of it? And he'll make fun of your faith. But I sure am glad we've got a God in heaven that loves us. And the Bible says he fights for us. And Nehemiah knew what to do. He went to the throne room. All through this book, the key is a prayer. Then found out, if he don't watch it, he'll bring doubting right in the church. End up causing trouble in the church. Bring doubt. Then he'll make you feel fearful and danger. Like danger's on every side. Maybe you hadn't ever felt that way. You just serve God long enough, it'll come. But then we get to distraction. I'm going to say this before I read my text. He will try his best to distract you with good things. Because you know when it's bad things, you're going to pick up on it. Well, that's the devil. So he'll try to distract you with good things. I mean good intentions. You want to do right, but you remember this. Don't go alone just to get along, church. Don't nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that we have to compromise to have a conference with the devil or the world. We stand on this Bible, and we don't have to have fellowship in the valley of O and O. I said it this morning, I won't say it tonight. I don't want to meet the world in O and O, and I don't want to die in O and O. I don't want to get in that kind of shape. But in chapter number 6, and we'll read verse number 1 through 5, the Bible says, now it came to pass, and when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies, look at there, there's a bunch of them, heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the village in the plain of Ono, but they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messenger unto them, saying, I am doing a great work. He got big on it, so that I cannot come down. He said, I'm doing a great work therefore. I said, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? Wilt I leave it and come down to you? Yes, they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Now here's where I left off. Look at verse 5. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the 5th time with an open letter in his hand. Wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, Geshmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel. For which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. And thou hast appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, this is a king in Judah. There is a king in Judah. And now shall it be reported to the king, according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I said unto him, saying, there is no such thing done as thou sayest. Look at there, he hushed him up. But thou feignest them out of thine own heart, for they all made us afraid. Yeah. saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. He said, I ain't even going to close up the verse till I let you know where I got my help. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Father, we love you today and pray, God, that you'd help us to preach in the power of the Holy Ghost. Help us to be a help to your children. Help us to feed the sheep. Help us, Lord, to be an encourager. I do thank you for helping me. And, Lord, I just want to get out of the way that I can be a help to them. In Jesus' name, I thank you and I praise you, Lord. I give you all the glory. Help souls, touch saints, revive and stir hearts. Lord, save that sinner that's lost and near hell. Lord, I pray you draw money yourself. Lord, I pray you tell us in the word of God to walk as dear children. Help us, Lord, not to be deceived by the snares, the tricks of the devil, and by his wiles. Lord, he's a liar. God, help the people of God not to quit. We pray in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If the Lord would help us for a little while tonight, I want to preach on this thought, continuing what I preached on this morning. Don't quit. Look what the Bible says in chapter 6 and verse number 5. Then sent Sambalat, his servant, unto me in like manner the fifth time. If he hadn't done it in four times, if he could not hinder him and laughing him to scorn on the plans, if he could not stop the progress, they've almost got to the place they're ready to set up the gates. It hadn't worked. Everything he's tried, but the devil ain't done yet. And he pulled out some that the devil still pulls out today. Sambalat, if you hadn't already figured out, it's the type of the devil. And Sambalat sends that servant. He's got little demon running everywhere. And this is what he sent. He sent a letter. Why did he send a letter? It's an open letter. He wants to make sure everybody knows what's fixing to be said. He wants the charges to be made known abroad. The way to... I'm simply saying, church, if he don't get it by discord, if he don't get it by danger, if he don't get it by discouragement, he'll get it by defamation. He'll cause defamation of the character of the leader of the church. He'll cause you to hate your preacher. He'll cause trouble between you and the leaders of your church. I've seen him do it. He will do it. And the way, here's how to escape it. Preacher, I don't want no defamation. I don't want nothing bad said about me. Here's how you can do it. Do nothing, say nothing, stand for nothing, and be nothing. You won't never have to worry about it. But if you're going to stand for something, if you're going to say something, if you're going to preach something, if you're going to do something, if you're going to do the work for God, you better just counter down. It ain't changed since then. There's going to be things said about you that ain't right. They're going to throw them in prison. They did Jeremiah. Hey, man, they've done it since Nehemiah's day, since the devil's been here. He's always brought a defamation of character. Remember, the servant, it's not above his master. Remember what they did to Jesus. They called him Beelzebub. They called him a wine bibber. That's what they said about the Lord, the one that made them and was going to die for them. They said he's a wine bibber. They said he hangs around old sinners. That's who he is, hangs around that sinner. I'm so glad he loves sinners. I'm so glad he thanks God. I thank God for that. Hallelujah. They said he's Beelzebub. They said he cast out devils by Beelzebub. Remember this, church, we're not above. And did Satan not bring an accusation to Adam about God in the Garden of Eden? He said, oh, the Lord just don't want you to know good and evil. I think it'd be a blessed thing to know nothing but good. I would to God I knew nothing but good. Oh, you just gonna know more, no more evil. And the Lord was protecting him. But the devil brought an accusation to Eve and Adam. He ain't changed a bit. And if he done it to them, he done it to God, he'll do it to us. Oh, you better watch that defamation of character. You see, he sent this open letter. Look what he said in verse number 6. Verse number 6 in the first part. The Bible says, hey, everybody knows y'all a bunch of rebels. Y'all just trying to... Y'all just rebelling against the known leadership. I'm going to tell you, if you live for this Bible, I want to mind God, and I want to be submissive to the government and the leaders that God's put above me. I think it's right for Christians to be good law-abiding citizens. I think they think, I mean, I believe that. My brother, I'm going to tell you, when the law, amen, of the land, let me put it like this, when the legal of the land goes against the law of God, I'm going to go with the law of God more than I am with the legality of man. Everybody say amen right there. I believe that's right. I believe it's right. We post the Bible said, children, submit yourself unto your parents. And you ought to be submissive to your parents. You ought to obey your parents. You ought to obey your parents in the Lord. I mean, you ought to be submissive one to another as a married couple. To the Lord. First of all, to God. Hey, can I say it like this? Thank God for the leadership that God's put above us. But remember this, they're going to call you rebels if you don't fall in line with every devilish thing that they do. You think you better than us. You think you've got it figured out. They called him a rebel. That's the first accusation. That ain't really what got on my heart the other day. Here's what got on my heart. For which call thou buildest the wall? He said, you building a wall so you can be their king, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. He brought an open letter and he said, I just want everybody to know your leader's corrupt. He's leading y'all a bunch of ragtag rebels. Y'all ain't nothing but a cult. That's what he's saying. The idea of rebel is a group or a gathering or what we would call a cult, moving in the opposite direction of the majority of the crowd. I'm glad I'm moving in the opposite direction than the majority of the crowd. And they call me crazy and holy roller and Bible thumper. They can do all that if they want. They're going to call you. They're going to defame your character. But here's what happened. If they figured out this, if they can tear down the leader, they'll get the rest of that crowd to follow after. And so they're trying their best to get that crowd to say, hey, your leader Nehemiah is just trying to be your king. He's just trying to lord over you. He's trying, and that's what they'll do. I've seen it done. They've tried to do it in our church. I'm telling you, I thank God for the truth of this Bible. It ain't changed a bit. I say hallelujah. In a perfect world, the pastor would pastor the men, and the men would be spiritual enough to pastor the house. But that ain't the way it is a lot of times. A lot of times the women are more spiritual than the men. I'm glad it ain't that way. A majority in this church, thank God, we got some good men. Help us, Lord. We need some good men. I need some backbone men, not some old pansy man. Help us, Lord. Lily-livered men ain't even leading their home right. God forbid. I'm going to tell you right now, you lead them to the bars and the games and lead them to the things of this world, won't lead them to church. My Lord, you're just like every old dead fish. Any dead fish can float downstream and grow like the current, but my God, be a trout. Head for the spawning ground. Let's see some babies born. Let's see God do something. Hallelujah. I mean, God can. Y'all believe that? I'm telling you, God can. And he said, well, I tell you what he is. He just wanting to lord over you. He wanting to be king. Then look at verse number 7. He said, thou hast appointed the prophets to preach in thy name. He said, I tell you what, he's not only a rebel, he's not only self-serving. I'll tell you what old Nehemiah is, he's prideful. He's got people preaching about it. He's got preachers that in there pointing people to preach about to preach. Hey, can I tell you this? Any good preacher will love their pastor, and any good pastor will love his preachers, and any good leader, thank God, amen. Thanks be unto God. Satan wants to slander you. He wants to point out to the enemy everything that he can find on you. And isn't that what the Bible says in the book of Jude? That vestibule to the end times. He said in the book of Jude, there'll be some creeping among you. You know who I'm talking about. He said there's spots in your feast. When you have that love feast, when you get down there and just love on God and you feast on the things of God, they stick out like a sore thumb. They're like clouds that don't have no weight, blowed around with every wind and doctrine. He said, I'm telling you, I wanted to preach to you about the common salvation, but I'm going to have to tell you, it's time to put the gloves on, boys. It's time to tell you to contend for the faith. He said, we've got a fight to fight. And he tells them in the book of Jude, he said, they're like foaming waves. Hey, you know what that is? You ever been out on the beach on a morning? Have they got every dead, stinky thing laid up on the beach? How that the ocean's beautiful. It's got all kind of living organisms in it. It's got all kind of living animals in it. But it only spits out on the beach that thing that's dead. Jellyfish dead. Horse crab dead. Stuff that's dead. Stinking stuff. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to bring up to surface everything that's dead and all the junk in your life. Listen, don't listen to the devil. He will try his best to do this right here. Amen. I say, preacher, what would he do? They'll tell you, preacher, he ain't doing nothing. He just trying to run the church in the ground. He don't care about church. He don't love the church. If he loved you like he said he loved you, he'd come visit you more. He'd bring you a pacifier every once in a while. He would. He'd come over and give you a pacifier and pet on you and love on you. And amen. And I'm going to tell you, your preacher, I'll tell you what I can do. He's just prideful. He ain't even wanting to preach to you. He's trying to get all the messages about him. It ain't ever been about it. It's always about Jesus. Amen. And Nehemiah's in a mess. Nehemiah's in a mess, but he's like a lot of other preachers are. He's in a mess. He's wondering, oh, this open letter, everybody's seen it. Everybody knows it. All the accusations, he can't hide it. So you know what Nehemiah did? He take it over to God and let God see it. He said, Lord, this is what they're saying about your man. Lord, here's what they're saying. I'm going to tell you, you can't do nothing in the corner and get away with it. I just want to let you know you can't do nothing in the corner and get away with it. You better be careful. You better be careful because that sorry devil wants to ruin you and wreck you. And if he's got to wreck you, starting with your preacher, do you realize all blessings come from above? Everything always comes down to the church. Do you realize the church is the umbrella of grace, and anything that goes on good in this world is through the local church and through the body, thank God, that is represented on the local streets and the local highways. Thank God for the Bible, believing church, and my goodness, they wouldn't be near as many splits and near as many schisms and near as many problems if we would quit listening to the devil trying to tear down the reputation of the leaders and the man of God that's trying to lead the people to safety and do what God's called them to do. Y'all agree with that? We're riding down the road the other day going to Alabama. And Seth says, Daddy, what is that? Look at that. There was one church here and another church. They wasn't even 15 feet apart. And I said, what happened there? I said, they probably had split and owned property and they just built another one right there. We went down the road. It was again. I said, probably another split. Probably another problem. Church, can I tell you today, I'm telling you, don't listen to the devil. He will try his best to discredit. They did it to Jesus. Amen. Hey, best thing you can do to discredit the slanders is this. Do what Nehemiah did. You know what he did? He said, everything you're thinking up in your mind's crazy. I've had them say this about me, Brother Doug. I've had them say this about me. Said I was a thief. They said I was stealing. Said I was embezzling. I would like to know what bank account it's in. If I knew what bank account it's in, I'm telling you right now, I'd go ahead and pay the church off. Show me where it's at, please. Tell me. Amen. They'll say things about my wife. Amen. It'll hurt, boy. I'm telling you. It'll bother you. Talk about your family. Talk about your wife. Can I just say this? I ain't going to listen to it. Don't waste your time. Thank God I don't want to listen to the devil. I had the devil try to tell me things about my pastor. My pastor began to lose his mind and began to think things and do things that just went. But I loved him, and I still love him. And I thank God for my preacher. Hallelujah. That's preaching the day I got saved. I say hallelujah. Don't listen. The devil wants to destroy the church. He wants to stop the work. He wants to wreck the workmen. He despises the workmanship. He's mad as everything that the walls is up. He's mad about the plans. He's mad about the progress. And he's mad about the potential. Because if the gates get up, he's done with. He's going to have a hard time infiltrating that crowd. He's going to be in bad shape, sure enough. So he tries his best to send that open letter. Sends it with the hand of a servant. He says this. He said, everything that you think in verse number 8. He said, y'all feignest them out of thine own heart. And he said, you've made us afraid. The truth is, you have made us afraid. He said, but thank God, before he got done, he said, oh God. He didn't have to pray a lot, boy. He didn't have 64 words. He just said, oh God, strengthen my hands. Oh God, strengthen thy hand. And I sure do like what it was. And then the devil couldn't do it, see. Oh, sorry, devil. He'll try thing after thing after thing after thing. He couldn't get you to defame. He couldn't get that crowd by defaming the leader. So he tried to do a little dismay. Look at what he said in verse number 9. They all being afraid, saying their hands shall be weakened, trying to instill fear, trying to cause people to be fear. Here's what fear does. I'm going to tell you three things that fear does before I get to my last one tonight. Here's what three things that fear does. It degrades your father. Why in the world are we fearful? And I talk to myself right now. I get myself in bad shape, but I'm going to tell you, it degrades my father. Either he is going to take care of me or he ain't. Either he's big enough to take care of me or he ain't. I don't know why I get so tore up sometimes. The truth is, I'm telling you, I do have that fear, and I have to get to the place where I start quoting 2 Timothy. God have not given me the spirit of fear, but a power and a love and of a sound mind, because fear will weaken you, and fear will drain the strength out of you. Oh, it sure will. Hallelujah. But I'm so glad. Listen, it will degrade the father. It will discourage your friend. It'll hurt your family. It'll hurt them around you. It'll hurt feelings. It sure will. It'll hurt them. But I'll tell you what else it'll do. It'll delight your foes. But I'm glad when you get to the mess and place, Brother Jeremy, when you've delighted your foes, when you brought discouragement to your family, your friends, and your loved ones, when they see you walking along with your bottom lip stuck out so far, hey, man, that you could drown. Thank God, when you're sitting over in the corner playing the world's saddest song, acting like you've lost everything. And can I tell you, when you got to the place you just degraded your father, I'm glad you can do like Jeremiah done one time when he's down there in the pit and he's forsaken for doing nothing but preaching. Hallelujah, somebody brought him some bread. I'll tell you what you need. Thank God when you get in that kind of shape, you need some bread. You say, preacher, where can I get from? Well, I'll tell you where I get my bread. Give us this day our daily bread. I'll tell you what you do. Get in this book. Get in the Bible. He's a bread loaf made for you every day. And do what he said. Do what Nehemiah said. Oh, God, strengthen my hand. Strengthen my hand. I don't have the strength, Lord. I feel like it's drained out of me. Oh, God. It's not a big prayer. Oh, God, strengthen my hands. I think that's five words. Amen. Oh, God, strengthen my hand. I think it's just the grace of God that we can pray and God will answer. Amen. And according to the Bible, amen, there's going to be the gates put on. But before the gates get put up, he's trying to defame the leader. He can't stop them. Sent an open letter. Brought some, no doubt, discouragement. See, here's the bad thing about passing on stuff that you've heard. Is that stuff gets lodged in your mind. And even though you know it's not true, every time you see that person, that's what you think of. That's why you ought not let your ear be a dumpster. Amen. That's why you ought not let your ear be a dumpster. Amen. Because that stuff rolls around in your mind. Don't let defamation, don't let nobody defame your leaders. Don't even hear what that crowds are saying. Then don't let them dismay. Don't let them discourage you or dismay you by making you full of fear. Get you to the place that you fear. Intimidation doesn't seem to work on Nehemiah. After everything gets, and he feels himself getting weak, and he feels like he's degrading the father, and he feels like he's discouraging them around him. When he feels himself getting weak, and he feels old Sanballat, no doubt, got a little stirred up, got a little happy, got a little delighted about his hands getting weak. You know what he did. He said, God, I'm going to go to you. This letter's open. Oh, God. It's like he said, oh, God. All of heaven shut up for him to hear what his servant had to say. Oh, God, strengthen my hand. I'm glad he didn't wait till 14 people got together and said it was all right. He didn't wait for Michael the archangel to do it. He didn't wait for Gabriel to do it. He sent help to him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Then look, lastly, at the deception. Here's what blew my mind. Afterward, I came into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. And let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night they will come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee? Who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou. I mean, he's telling this. He's going through. He said, preacher, what will the devil do if he can't get you with defamation? If he can't get you with fear that comes from dismay, or fear that comes from discouragement, or he can't get you from discord, you know what he'll do? He'll try to deceive you. Here's what the devil finally pulled out. The devil is an angel of light, and he has ministers, amen, that are ministers of a phony light. And he sent Shemaiah. He's a false preacher. He's a false preacher because he's going for hire. I'm telling you, you don't need nobody that'll preach because they've been hired to preach. Amen. You better have somebody to preach what God told them to preach, even when it ain't proper and when they don't even want to do it. I'm glad, thank God, this Bible is right. And this sorry devil disguised himself as an angel of light. And I'm talking about him pulled the crowd together and pulled out one of his oldest tricks that he's ever used. See, he's always been an angel of light. He's always used a deceptive message, and he's always had a deceptive messenger. And he sent him over there where he was, Shemaiah, and said deceptively, go in the temple. You see, Nehemiah couldn't go in the temple. He wasn't no priest. It was against the law to go in that temple. He couldn't go in there if he wanted to. He can't go in that place. And that old joker said, hey, let's go to church. I tell you what, dude, let's go to church. Come on down here to this church. Come on down here to this church. Listen to my compromising message. It's all right. You're looking way too much in this. It's okay. It's all right. Let's go down to church. Let's have a conference. Let's make a compromise. And the Bible said that old Nehemiah realized that God did not send him, but that the devil had Sanballat and Tobias had hired him. Can I tell you today, I'm glad I don't want to be no hireling. Amen. You know what, preacher? You say, preacher, what's the happy ending to the story? The wall's built. That's what's happy ending. Thank God. I love a happy ending. I love a happy ending. I love a happy ending. There's going to be another happy ending tonight. I like happy endings. And brother, can I just say, according to this Bible, thank God the walls got built, even though he tried everything. He tried 8 different ways to get the crowd to quit the work. He tried laughing at them. He tried mocking at them. He tried scorning them. He tried working from the inside out. He tried deception. He tried dismay. He tried every way he could. He even tried to tear down their leader, and nothing seemed to work. Hallelujah. The wall's built. The gates is up, and God's people are serving faithfully. I say hallelujah. And the devil's crowd, I love this. The Bible said when they saw this, my God, look at this. And verse number 14, look at this. My God, think thou upon Tobias and Sanballat according to their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would put me in fear. So the wall was finished. Amen. And the 25th day of the month, Elul, and 52 days, they built that whole wall around that city in 52 days. My God, how they didn't even have a backhoe. They didn't have an electronic, amen, or an electric or a gas-powered mixer. I'm talking about building 52 days. You know why? Because the people had a mind to work. That's why. And it came to pass. Listen to this. Amen. When all our enemies heard thereof, and the heathen that were about us saw these things, that they were cast down in their own eyes. Why? Amen. Because they perceived that this work was wrought of God. They said, woo! Glory to God. Lord, think on them. Judge them. Do with them what you want to do. I'm just tickled to death. I got to see one thing, Lord. I got to see all our enemies cast down. I'm glad they were cast down. They tried to cast down the wall. They tried to cast down the work. They tried to cast down the workmen. But they got cast down. That stone that they tried to roll on us, rolled on them. That hole they tried to dig for us, they fell in it. Oh, thank you, God, that they got cast down and they perceived that it wasn't our work. It's the whole time. It's been your work. They perceived it was the work of God. Amen. Church, can I tell you today, the enemies of God will finally be utterly cast down. So work on, child of God. They'll be working. They'll be praying. They'll be rejoicing. They'll be warring. But God, when he's done, will show this wicked crowd. Wow. They will wonder at the work that in 52 days the wall was completed. If they were so feeble, why were you so fearful, devil? If they were so few, why were you so worried about it, Dell? If they are nothing to worry about, then why do you constantly send after them? If you're not, I'm telling you why, because the devil's crowd always knows that if God's work's completed, souls will be saved. Saints will be having a refuge and finding protection. You see, they had something. That old devil had something to hide. He had something to hide. He had something to say, and nobody shouldn't have been hearing it. But he had something to hide. You see, he knew in himself that if the work was done, he was the one going to be cast down. You remember what Tobias said? Tobias said, that wall's so weak that when the fox runs on it, it'll fall down. That's what he said. He said, that church is weak. It won't take one little sly fox. It'll collapse the church. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't watch it, you'll start listening to that mess. But can I tell you today, this church has been going a long time. By the grace of God, April 19th, we'll be here 21 years. I know we don't have a large crowd. I tried to count them tonight. I don't do this a lot, but I tried to count them tonight. I think it's 34 people here tonight. We had a whole lot more than that here this morning, but there's around 34 people here, if I counted right, tonight. I was counting all these children that God's put in our trust. Oh, I say glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank God. There's a fight worth fighting, church. I'm telling you, thank God. Don't listen to the devil. This is a work that God's called us to do. It's God's perfect will. Thank God. Don't listen to the defamation of people in the church. Don't let discord come in here. Don't be discontented. You know what happens when people get discontent? They start looking for something else. And when they start looking for something else, the devil will show them the fault about everything where they're at. I've seen it happen in marriage, Jacob, you come. I've seen it happen in marriage one time. I have a preacher friend who told me this story. He said it was true, didn't tell me no names. I'm glad he didn't. I don't want to know the name. That's private. I've seen it happen. I'm going to give you an illustration so you won't try to think about it being in our church. This happened in his church. He said this. He said a woman got a little discontent with her husband and got to looking at all these other men. Before long, her husband's breath stunk worse than anybody. He did everything wrong, couldn't do nothing right. He said, she came to the preacher. His wife is in there with him, they're counseling. He said, I tell you what I want you to do. He said, I want you to do, if you want to really hurt him, be good to him for the next 3 months. Rub his feet when he comes in. Have his meal cooked. Make sure all of his clothes is ironed and folded. Pamper him. And then drop the hammer on him. He said, before you do, come back to me a week before you're going to do it. I want to know it. About a week before he came to the time when she was going to drop the hammer, she came to the preacher and said, I fell all in love with that boy again. She said, Lord God, I love him more now than I ever did. Hallelujah. Because, you see, it quit being about her. She thought she was going to really get him. And she started pampering him and loving on him and spoiling him rotten. And for it over with, she done fell in love with him more than she could possibly ever love him before. Can I just go on record? Don't be discontent with your church. Don't be one of them church hoppers. Don't be discontent. Don't be discontent with your Bible. Don't be discontent with the old time way. Don't be discontent with this red hymnal. Look, me and a lot of folks in here have been to a lot of good churches and a lot of good camp meetings and that don't use this red book hymnal. And whenever they're singing, I'm not trying to hurt nobody, but if they ain't singing out of that red book, I'm just telling y'all, it's deader than 4 o'clock. I'm saying break out the red book. I went with Tony Hudson. He goes all over the country. I went down there for a meeting. Tony Hudson was there rather. And when I got there, he had a church hymnal in his hand. I wonder, why does he have a church hymnal right up underneath his Bible? And all the music was dead, opera mess. It made you sick to even hear the stuff. And I mean, they changed Amazing Grace. It was, I never knew you could make Amazing Grace stink so bad. It just ruined the whole song. I mean, Amazing Grace, how sweet does sound. That see the rich like me. I mean, it's terrible. Wasn't no bit of sore feeling. Wasn't no happiness in it at all. And he finally got up and said, y'all don't know this, but I'm going to turn to page 6. And I'm going to sing this song. If this song don't help this service, they ain't used to me preaching. It's dead beyond help. Hallelujah. Thank God, and he sung that song. Woo! And can I just go on record and say right now, on the authority of God's word, don't be discontent with this Bible. Don't be discontent with that hymnal. Don't be discontent with old time shouting and worshiping. Don't be discontent. Don't think if we just change a few things and go out to Ono and make a little few deals that we could blow this church up big. I'd rather have 34 on Sunday night that love God. Hallelujah. Amen. And have 70 on Sunday morning that I had to thank God pastor somewhere with 700 people that want to just get out before they ever get in. Hallelujah. Don't listen to that. I don't want to go somewhere where there's constant discord and deception and defamation. I don't want that mess. But be aware, that's what he's always done and that's what he's going to keep doing. So nip it in the bud. Don't let it happen, church. Think we are a body of believers and united together with one cause and one purpose, and that's to fulfill the work of God. He went to Calvary, that everything, and was buried and rose the third day, so that everything that needed to be done, so that people could get saved, could be done. He left, he finished his work. He said it's finished. But then he left us a work that's unfinished. We're supposed to go out here and tell them. Church, grab a trowel. And grab a spear. Thank God, labor on, fight on, because the fight is a great fight. It's a good fight. It's a great fight. It's a great work. We will not come down. Why would we come down? The work will cease. You say, preacher, God's kingdom, God's always had people. I know he has. And as always, ultimately, generally, the work of God's going to go on. But he's got something he wants me to do. And he's got something he wants you to individually do. And there's a gap in the wall. So I'm asking somebody to make up the gap. I'm asking you to fill in the gaps tonight. I'm saying get busy. Don't be a spectator. Be a participator. Get involved with what's going on. And let's see this wall go up. From the rubbish, God can raise them up. God help us. The Bible said they rose up with a mind to work. So let's pray tonight. God would help us to rise up. Give us a mind to work. Father, we love you tonight. Pray, God, that your will be done.